Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Heart. We're back in the studio with Adriana, Michaela, Karen, Grant, Miss Tara, and myself, Sandy. And we've been talking about Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And something that really hit my heart last time was, you know, Jesus came in obedience to serve us, and he submitted himself to the Father, and that is where I'm leaning. I need to submit more. But Grant has some insight that he'd like to share with us.
So last week we sort of ended by just mentioning that we don't always get to see, like, the fruits of our labor, that what God has for us, and, like, what, when we're following his will, like, what it actually accomplishes, and we don't always get to see that. And so just as sort of like a story of encouragement that it does happen, and it does happen when people don't notice it. Recently, the seniors at my school went on a mission trip to Trinidad and Tobago, and one of the stories that they came back with was that many years ago, there was a group that went down there on a missions trip, and basically they thought that they had failed because they had like 14 people on their mission trip, and they started a VBS and 7 kids showed up, and that was all they had for the entire week, just 7 kids. So they had done all this preparation, and they were like, we're only reaching these 7 kids. We thought we were gonna have like 60 or something like that. And so they felt really dejected when they left, even though they poured everything they could into these kids. But these people never found out that those 7 kids that showed up to their VBS are now the foundation of almost all of the churches in Trinidad and Tobago. I believe it was 6 out of the 7 kids became pastors and are the head pastors of the 6 major churches down there. And the 7th one isn't one of the major pastors. I don't remember what his position is, but it is a major position in the religion down there for Christianity. And so, like, these people that came down and thought that they had failed on their mission trip, they still don't know that they have completely, like, and radically changed Christianity down in Trinidad and Tobago, but they did. So you might not always know that you're making a difference, but yeah, you definitely can be.
That's great, because it doesn't have to be a large crowd. It could be one.
Yeah, and it's absolutely more about being faithful than necessarily even the results.
I've heard this story a couple of times from Grant since he found out about this, and it just still brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not about us. It's about the exaltation of Jesus and giving the gospel and being faithful to giving the gospel. And it's a beautiful thing. So, Michaela, why don't you read for us Philippians 2, 5 through 11?
Okay. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of his word. Okay, so we have been focusing in on, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. The name which is above every name. And the question is, what is the name? And we ended last time, and we discussed the fact that the actual name is Lord, that it is the word Lord. And it would be the word that is translated from Jehovah, Yahweh, to Lord, is how it would work. Yeah. And his exaltation would be resurrection, ascension, and glorification to the right hand of the Father. That is the order of his exaltation. And so the Father has lifted him up. I have Acts 2:33. Grant, why don't you look that one up? You have a Bible. And Michaela, you do Hebrews 1:3. And these two verses show his process of exaltation and getting ready to see that. And so we just want to see how God does that in Hebrews 1:3 and Acts 2:33. So Grant, when you get it, just let me know and we'll have you go, and then we'll do Michaela's. And God highly exalted him. It wasn't like a partial, it was a high exaltation. So go ahead, Grant.
Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear.
Go ahead, Michaela.
The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word.
Okay, read again for us the exact expression of his nature.
Sustaining all things by his powerful word.
Okay, that would be the morph of God in him that is never changing, that we talked about in the first and second week. It is the part that never changes. And the exaltation that both of them read about, I mean, it's a beautiful thing that God has done. So what name was given to Jesus is Lord. And verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And New American Commentary states that this is a revelation of the sovereignty of the authority of God. And you think about how in Revelation, it tells us that when we get to heaven in Revelation 5 and in Revelation 8, and I think it's like 5, 8, and 8, 5, it says every knee shall bow and they shall cry, like that's on the earth, in the earth, above the earth, the animals, the creatures on the earth, in the sea, and in the sky, all levels of creation shall be in worship and cry out, the holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so NAC, New American Commentary, says, you have to understand, it's showing the sovereign authority of heaven, of earth, and of under the earth. And they take it a step further and they say, you need to understand, that's all forms of spiritual, all forms of being, as in like human form. So that would be the spiritual beings, the living beings, and the demonic beings are also submitted to his authority. It's just beautiful. And so Jesus became master instead of slave. And if I could get, Adriana, why don't you pull up Hebrews 12, 2. Mm-hmm. Were you looking ahead? Did you see?
No. No.
No. Okay. Hebrews 12, 2. And wanting us to look up how that supports what we're talking about as well.
Okay. So Hebrews 12, 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay. One, the joy set before him. Recognizing that when we are in pursuit of that which is of God and a willingness to let go of our reputation, we actually have a joy that is given to us, that is a God-given joy. And that comes from him. That's not from without. That it's a gift that he will give to us. And could you read it again for us? Did I make you? I'm sorry.
That's okay. It'll be here in about 1 second.
You got it.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Now
the phone's
being
not
slow.
Working.
Wonderful. Okay.
There you go.
Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay. In all the verses we just did, it references the right hand. The right hand. The right hand is the hand that's the strong arm. It's the delivering arm. It's the I am hiding you under the shadow of my wings. It is the place of highest honor to be seated at the right hand. And so it emphasizes again and again the importance of what he's doing there. And I thought it was fun because we've talked about it, but I want us to really understand this is critical in that his ultimate humiliation, we had a hint that this would be the case actually in the Garden of Eden. And that because if you think about it, remember, it's he's giving up his reputation. He's getting the name that is above all names. And it's by the word of God that this is taking place. And in the garden, what did Satan say to Eve when he was enticing her with the apple?
Yeah, like he didn't really say that to you.
Yeah.
You know,
did he really? God really say? Good. Yes. And that is the first attack that we have written down is the attack of the character and the word of God. That is a hint that all throughout history, everything is an attack of the character and the word of God. And that's because it's the name. And if you can ruin the reputation, then all else fails. is the same way, as Sandy had stated in, I think it was Radio 2, the show 2 back, she had stated about the character and that it's the same way that Satan attacks us. So he's going to go after the character. And so the New American Commentary says the title Lord references Jesus' character. Now, isn't it interesting? It always comes back to this. This is like foundational in everything that we do. It seems like every radio show we go to this. And it also, though, by saying Lord, shows his function. So go back to the thoughts and the actions. Now, Lord, think, okay, so it's his character and his function. It's showing the overflow. So they say he's to be our adoration, but he's also our administrator. It shows his administration of God's affairs. So did you already look ahead? Were you looking at this to get?
No.
Okay. Michaela, will you pull up 1 Corinthians 15:24-28? And D, you do Ephesians 1:20-23. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 15:24-28 and Ephesians 1:20-23. And these two verses show us the function of what Jesus did, meaning his actions in our behalf as Lord. 15:24-28. Okay. You got it?
Yes.
Okay.
Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death, for God has put everything under his feet. But when it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. And when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all.
It's awesome. So in the end, this is the ultimate of what he's done. He, everything is under him for the glory of God. Everything. Okay, D?
Okay. Ephesians 1:20-23.
Mm-hmm.
That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Shows again his dominion of all things. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about this, and I didn't actually put it in my notes. And I'm just sitting here thinking, why didn't I do that? Because this is something I dwelled on for like a couple of days because I thought it was so beautifully stated. Which commentator? I'm not remembering which one. I apologize. He stated that Christ is our eternity past. And I'm like, I've never heard that phrase together before, eternity past. It seems like an oxymoron. Yes, we have eternity past, and we have actually eternity present, and we have eternity future, and that's Jesus. He is our past, our present, and our future, and he is over all those. So just as he has dominion of the heavens and the earth and that which is under the earth, he has dominion of eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. And as I'm sitting here drawing this out physically in front of myself in the radio, it actually forms a cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. It's like, God is so amazing. And so thinking through what he has provided for us in his function as the one we are to adore and the administrator of all things, because his character and authority is everything. So a New American Commentary says, wherever Jesus' name and character have authority, he will be worshipped. And ultimately, that's it. That's why we're here. We're to give glory to God the Father through the Son because of what he's done. God sent Jesus to give us glory, that we in turn would give him glory, that we will do it so that other people will then give it glory. And as they are watching, they will believe that God sent Jesus for us. And so as we are recognizing his character and authority, and we give him permission, he has it over all pieces of the earth, but it's our responsibility to release it. So that's where worship takes place. So when we feel that worship is not happening, we have a responsibility as the one who is a true worshiper of Christ, who says Jesus is Lord, to say, I recognize the character and authority of Jesus here, and this belongs to him, and that's when true worship will take place mm-hmm. in the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that just blessed me when I read that. I was like, that's beautiful. And you have something, Sandy, were you saying? No. New American Commentary says that language, this is the language of triumph that they give us. And he says, they said, take, for example, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. That's every knee in heaven and on mm-hmm. earth and under the earth, every knee. And it doesn't matter whether or not they have believed
right.
in Jesus, their knee will bow.
And that almost, you know, makes you sad when you think there's going to be people that don't believe that they're, I mean, they're going to know then, but it's too late.
Yeah, I was reading that in Revelation 8 this morning in my daily reading, and it grieved my heart because it actually states that even as all these things are happening in the waves of the scrolls being opened and it's occurring, it says they still refuse to repent
and
draw near to God. I'm like, God, this is devastating. Why would we, why? And so I was praying for the world's repentance this morning because it just grieves my heart that they wouldn't. The bended knee is obviously the posture of submission, which would be somebody who truly is a slave. So the interesting thing is he was willing to become the bondservant, the slave, in our behalf to get rid of the reputation that in turn eventually we will then bow and become his slave, whether we believe in him or not. And that we would confess, that we would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's stated that if you can confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit and by him giving us that ability. And so verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The question I started asking myself all week, am I willing to be selfless to accomplish to do the will of God? Am I willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Am I willing to say I am bringing in the character and authority of God into this? Am I willing to own the fact that he is bigger and greater and has dominion and it's not me? Let go of my reputation and hold on to the fact that he gave his reputation that I might take his reputation that was exalted by God because he submitted himself. When I'm willing to do those things, that's when we will see the glory of the Lord revealed in our circumstances and the glory of the Lord revealed in us. And when we submit to that, it's amazing what he does. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.